Thank you for choosing the podcast of East Haven Baptist Church in Brookhaven, Mississippi. For more information on the ministries of East Haven and to access videos and sermon notes from our services, visit www.easthaven.net.
Didn't our students do a wonderful job leading us today in worship? Fantastic. Very grateful for our choir and orchestra and band. That was special. In Philippians 4:4, Paul writes to the church, Philippi, and he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." That word rejoice is the same word that is used for joy. He goes on to say, "I will say it again, rejoice." In other words, the Apostle Paul is saying that as believers, the church there at Philippi, the ecclesia, the called out ones, buildings are nice, but the church is a people. We have the church here. We have church that traveling today, different places. So our church, East Haven, is all over, and the Church of Jesus Christ is a lot bigger than just one fellowship. And so he's saying to us today as believers, don't lose your joy. As believers, we are to have joy in our life no matter what we're going through, who we are, and what's going on with our family or at work or at school. That doesn't mean we're not going to have bad days. It's just there seems to be in some places in our world today that people are misunderstanding what joy really is. Joy is not a strategy. Joy is not a political type of strategy. No. That's not what joy is. Joy is not an emotion. You can be happy because you're going to have a blizzard after church. But tomorrow you may not have a blizzard, so you may not be happy. You can be happy because your team won yesterday. Yay, go team. But next week, your team may not win. So happiness comes and goes. So joy is not an emotion. It's not a strategy. It's not just the name of a female. Now, there may be a guy named Joy. I don't know. I've never met one. But I have met some joy-filled Joys or Joyces. Or I've got a granddaughter named Atlee Joy. She brings granddaddy a lot of joy. Big H is what they call me. So it's not just the name of a lady or a female. So what we want to do today is we want to explore what joy is all about. Now, I started with the verse in Philippians because this is the Apostle Paul that was in prison when he wrote this letter. I cannot imagine being filled with joy in a cell. Now, I don't know about you. I've often thought about, hopefully I won't have to go to the Huskow, but if I ever went to the Huskow, the jail, the prison, the cell, I don't know. I just can't imagine. I'd try to stay busy. I think I'd find myself trying to read the Bible, reading books, doing exercise, but that just can only carry you so far. And so he wrote a letter, Paul did, a number of times while he's in prison, and he's talking about joy. He mentioned this word or some derivative of it at least 11 times in this one short book. In Philippians 1:21, this is what he says. He summarizes his life because God had totally transformed him from being a religious person to be a dynamic Christian. He said, "To live is Christ, and to die is gain." It just sums his life up. Like, okay, I'm in prison, been tough, been shipwrecked, been beaten for my faith, for my stand for Christ. To live is Christ, because he has changed my life. And I love him. I want to serve him. Paul said, I want to be obedient to him because he's absolutely given me freedom from all the chains of religion that he was bound up in. So to live is Christ, no matter what he goes through. And he says, to die is gain, for then I will be in heaven forever and ever and ever. Eternity's a long time. And so that's the background for this particular passage. Now, if you have your list, your listening sheet, you have your notes, let's look at what joy really is all about. First thing we want to consider is this. Joy comes from the Lord. Meaning, if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Romans 10, 9 through 11. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. It is a relationship with Jesus Christ, admitting our sin, believing on Jesus, and confessing him as Savior and Lord. Lord, I surrender my life. I surrender my sins. I ask you to forgive me and save me. He's paid the price on the cross. He lived a perfect life. He died on the cross and he rose again. That's what the gospel of salvation is all about. It is a free gift. And then as we grow in our relationship with Christ, we find that it is a fruit of the Spirit. John 15 says, if you abide in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. And so in Galatians, he lays out, well, what does that look like? It means from the inside out comes love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, and he lists several other things that are listed there that are so important that human beings, we cannot work it up. It's not we can say, I want joy, blah, I got joy. No, it comes from a heart that loves Christ, that serves him, that abides in him. Some of you may remember the song, I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart, down in my heart, down in my heart. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart to stay. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart, down in my heart. I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. Now you see why I didn't sing the whole thing. But I love that song. Joy, it's from the heart, a heart that's been transformed by Christ. This is not a live, real flamingo, but I have it here for a purpose. We know that pink flamingos are pink, and they're known for really two major attributes. I'll tell you about the other one a little bit later. But one is their flaming color. This isn't because somebody spray painted them. This isn't because they came out this way. From everything that I've read and studied on pink flamingos, they were an ugly, gray, and dark color at birth. But because of what they consume and they eat, they turn that bright color of pink. Mainly shrimp as well as other things cause them to be that color of pink. Here's what one expert said. The pink of their feathers, famous quality, is not a hereditary trait. Flamingos are, in fact, born a dull gray, so it's not part of their DNA. Why do these birds take on the shades of pink? For flamingos, the phrase, you are what you eat, holds more truth than it might for humans. Now, as we feed on the Word of God, the Bible says all scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. As we feed on the Word of God, he changes us from the inside out. And that's where joy comes from. It is from God. Secondly, joy impacts people for the Lord. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8. There were a people in the Macedonian churches that were going under severe trial. Things were not happy for them. They were not good. They were having difficulty. And yet the Apostle Paul shares this in 2 Corinthians 8. And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. And verse 5, it says, and they exceeded our expectations. In other words, they're going through a trial, and they took care of us way beyond what we ever imagined. They gave themselves, first of all, the Lord, and then by the grace of God, they gave to God also to us. And so here we find that it impacts other people for the Lord. If we maintain our joy in severe circumstances and trials, it doesn't mean we're not going to have a bad day. It doesn't mean we're not going to grieve. It doesn't mean any of that. It doesn't mean that we may not need to work through a season of adjustment in life. It doesn't mean that we may not need to go talk to somebody. But what it means is God can continue to give us our joy in the midst of difficulty and understand that it can affect and influence other people. I did a funeral this past week for Jay Higginbotham. Jay was about 46, 47 years old. He was a member of Morrison Heights Baptist Church in Clinton, where I was a youth minister and a pastor for years. And so I've known Jay a long time. I'd not seen him in a long time until his family reached out to me, his parents, and asked me to be a part of the funeral. And before he passed, Kelly and I went over there for a few hours, about 2 days before he passed. And Jay was special. And so he always had a smile on his face. He loved everybody, didn't meet a stranger. And he'd have these different expressions for different people. One of the things he would say to me when I became the pastor and I'd walk up there, he'd seek me out before I walked on the stage. He'd say, "Don't preach too hard. Don't preach too hard, Brother Hal. Don't preach too hard." I said, okay, Jay. And I think over time I realized what he was trying to say is don't preach too long. He was precious. And the homegoing service was amazing. The testimonies, the love, the people he impacted. You see, joy impacts people for the Lord. It's not just about us. Someone has said this, the important people in our lives leave imprints. They may stay or go in the physical realm, but they're always there in your heart because they help form your heart. There's no getting over that. We can receive a sense of joy from others. I have maybe shared with you years ago when I was at Morris Knights as a pastor and we were relocating, and you relocated years ago, so you know it's not an easy venture. It has to be a God thing. But sometimes during those early days, I would have days I felt like I was losing my joy, or weeks or seasons. And I would go see Dr. Jim Futrell. You know Dr. Futrell. He'll be here again before you know it. And he is a joy-filled Christian. He's not perfect. It's not like he doesn't have bad days. But man, that dude has joy. And I could go in his office, and I didn't go in like this, but I'd go in his office inside thinking, man, are we going to make it through all this? This relocation, all this stuff. And I would leave there like I was ready to storm the gates. Like, let's go. Let's do this. God is faithful. And I'm grateful for a man like that, people like Jay, people like many of you, people in our community are like that, people in my family, people I've run into that you have too, that have joy in their life. because it rubs off on you. And it helps you in your journey. That's why we need each other. Joy comes from the Lord. Joy impacts people for the Lord. And thirdly, joy sustains us throughout our journey with the Lord. In Nehemiah chapter 8, Ezra had read the book of the law. They stood. They had seen, oh, we were supposed to be doing this. In other words, they were confronted with their sin. And they begin to weep and to cry. And yet Nehemiah comes back around and he says, but when we're repentant, God gives us a fresh start. He gives us a future. Don't just stay here. There's a time to repent. There's a time to weep over sin. There's a time to cry. But he also said this is a time to celebrate. We have God's word. We have God's grace. We have God's mercy. It's time to move on. And he says in chapter 8, verse 10, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And so when we go through difficulty, when we're broken over our sin, when we're brokenhearted over something that broke our heart because of what happened to us or somebody in our family, our friends, or whatever, we keep our eyes on the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Psalm 35, verse 5 says, weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. God is saying, I will help you through this. It will be different, but I will help you adjust. John 16, 22, Jesus said to disciples, now is our time of grief, but I will see you again, and you will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. God is faithful, and he helps us through difficult times. Maybe you're here today, and you've lost your joy. You may or may not be able to identify this is what happened. You may or may not be able to put a timeline on it or even understand it as a Christian. But here's what I would tell you. These are ways that I believe a Christian can restore their joy. First of all, get alone with God. You may say, well, that's pretty simple. Yeah, but we don't do it a lot. And sometimes it means not just our regular devotional place and time. It may be going on a silent retreat. It may be going on what some would call an Emmaus walk. I've never been on one of those, but I hear they can be very good. It may be you go to a minister that you know and you love and say, I need to get alone with God. And they say, take a Bible you can understand, a translation, and take this devotional book or whatever, and leave your cell phone to the side, check it maybe once or twice a day, and get alone for a Friday and a Saturday. Just go to a park, go to Lake Teocata, go somewhere and get alone with God and say, God, help me. I've lost my joy. I love you. I know what you've done for me, but I need your help. And you listen to his voice. Secondly, feel like you've lost your joy? Get with God's people. Because here's what can happen, and I've been there before. When we get greatly discouraged or depressed, you know what we want to do? We want to isolate ourselves. We start pulling away from people. And we may not even realize it, but we start pulling away from people. And some of us are not naturally wired that way, but that may be an indication you're not in a good place. You've gotten in a dark place. And your heart is broken. And it may be you just need to force yourself, as you've gotten along with God, to be with God's people. Get plugged into a Sunday school class. Get plugged into a hungry men circle. Get plugged into a Monday ladies Bible study. Do something to get around God's people. And this is wonderful, big room, but I'm talking about a smaller group of God's people. Pour out your heart. Share your heart. Listen to others share their heart. Pray for them. Here's the third thing. Get along with some buds you've had for life in a different setting. You know those people. Grew up with them, went to school with them, played ball with them. Y'all tight. You can talk about anything. You can laugh, you can cry, you can pray, you can sing. Y'all tight. You get those rascals on the phone, might be one, maybe two, maybe a handful. Usually it's only two or three. And you say, man, I need y'all. Let's go hunting, fishing or something. And y'all need, just let's hang out. Get along with some buds. Pray for each other. Don't overplan it and just hang out. That's good medicine. Those kind of people you can call at 3 o'clock in the morning, you can laugh with. Laughter's like good medicine. What else? Get focused on someone that's hurting. Change your focus. Find somebody that's hurting in your church or at work or at school and just begin to pray for them, write them a note, text them. Just let them know you're praying for them. That helps us get our eyes on somebody else. All right, back to this. Now, this is a pretend leg. He's supposed to have two pretend legs, but I lost the other one. But there sometimes are on one leg. Y'all know that, so it works out good. You say, well, why do they do that? Well, I don't think they really know. That's not a part of the sermon. Supposedly, they're comfortable there, or it helps them be warm or something. I don't think they really know. But here's what I do know. One of the blessings of having these long legs, the pink flamingo, is it gives them the opportunity to wade out into deep waters in order to be fed. As a Christian, there's some deep waters we're going to have to wade out into. And oftentimes, it's to help us to grow, mature, feed on God's word, do the things we know we need to do, but we needed a little push from the person that loves us unconditionally. I don't know where you are today. I don't know what God may want you to do in a public invitation or while we're singing privately, but I know that in this room or listening on the radio or Facebook or whatever, it might be that God has spoken to you through the students, through the choir, through the prayer, through the whatever it might be, through his word, through an illustration, whatever it is, please obey, listen, talk to him. Don't miss this moment because it's about to pass. We'll never have this particular moment with the exact group of people at this particular time again ever. So I want to ask you to stand. Robert and others are going to lead us in our invitation. Our staff's going to join me here at the altar. The prayer altar is open for you if God's leading you to do that. Just sing, pray, listen, and respond to God, whatever he may be calling you to do.